are in a hard conversation, when we're feeling anxious, we have an instinct to find something to control, right? And it's natural. Mm-hmm. You're in, you're on your heels, you're feeling, you just want one thing that you can grab onto that like, and the easiest thing to control is to try and control the other person, right? And sometimes we do that by saying things like, you know, you shouldn't have felt like you got upset because of that. Like you shouldn't have gotten upset. That's not a big deal. I'm trying to control your emotions. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps saying something like, oh, you know, I'm not going to talk about that right now. Like, I don't think that matters in this conversation. I'm going to control the topics.
Right.
What's much more healthy. And in fact, that's one of the things that's known as a warning sign in relationships when people try and control each other. What's much more healthy is to recognize we both want to control things. So let's find things we can control together. Like, for instance, we can control when this conversation happens. If it's 2 o'clock in the morning and we're both exhausted, let's wait until 10 a.m.
Right.
to have it. We can control ourselves. Mm. And when you say, I just need a couple of minutes, like I'm going to need a couple of minutes to like get in the right headspace, or I need to come back to this conversation. You're not trying to shut me down. What you're saying is I want to control myself.
Right.
Or you control your environment, right? Or the boundaries of the problem itself. There's this thing in marriage therapy known as kitchen sinking, which is like the worst pattern for leading to divorce, which is we start fighting about where to go for Thanksgiving, and it becomes a fight about like, your mom hates me and we don't have enough money. And that's kitchen sinking. The better thing is to control the boundaries of the fight together and say, let's just talk about Thanksgiving. Like, let's not talk about moms. Let's not talk about money. Let's just talk about this one thing.
Right.
And then you're controlling together.
Yeah, I love that. I think then it's kind of like you both against the problem in a way.
Yeah.
It kind of it reorients you. So
absolutely.
It's not like hard conversation against each other in a way. But the hard conversation is something that we talked about on the podcast. Krista and I have had many hard conversations together. We've kind of developed this approach where we call it a clearing conversation, where we'll usually go on a walk. So we're moving our bodies. We're not like locking eye to eye. And we're able to just kind of bring everything out into the open, just kind of clear the distortions, et cetera. But I guess, what did you find when it comes to hard conversations? Like the most important pieces to having a conversation that's hard, but also so that both people walk away feeling seen and heard?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And there's lots of fun stories in the book about like CIA officers recruiting overseas spies and inside a jury room. But one of my favorite stories in the book is about this experiment where they brought together gun control advocates and gun rights activists. And these are people who normally hate each other, right? They would just scream at each other all day long. In fact, they were all in the movement, so they all did scream at each other at rallies. And they brought them together and they said, we just want to see if you guys can have a civil conversation. And we're going to teach you a technique before you have this conversation. It's called looping for understanding. It has three steps. The first is ask each other questions, deep questions if possible. The second step is, once someone's answered a question, repeat back in your own words what you just heard them say. And then the third step, and this is the one we always forget, is ask if you got it right.
Yes.
Now, the reason why this is powerful is because when we're in a hard conversation, there's a part of our brain that becomes suspicious that the other person isn't listening and is just waiting their turn to speak. So what we need to do is prove that we're listening.
Love that.
Prove it. And the way that we do that is by repeating back what they said. We're asking a follow-up question that makes it clear we were paying attention. Oftentimes, we just assume that people know that we're listening. But in a hard conversation, we really have to go that extra mile to prove that we are, because that's going to make them more willing to listen to us.
Yeah. And it creates just a container of true trust. Cause I think we have to remember that we're all coming to conversations, relationships as, you know, we have like our little inner children running around, and there might be a part of us that is afraid of being abandoned.
Yeah.
And so in a conversation, you can be abandoned by someone not listening and are totally tuning out or just worrying about what they're going to say next. So it's like, even though that's not a direct correlation to your trauma or wounding, it's like that can totally be triggered.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we've all felt that, right?
Yes.
That like, you know, I'm talking to this person, am I boring them? Are they like looking over my shoulder to see if there's someone more interesting to talk to? Are they really listening to me? And then think about how good it feels when you meet someone who's, who they say they listen to you, and then they ask a follow-up question. They say, what I heard you say, and tell me if I'm getting this wrong, is, and suddenly you're like, oh, like I'm the most interesting person in the world right now.
Yes.
As evidenced by how this person's reacting to me. And it feels amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious if we want to categorize people and what they do. So you mentioned politicians, et cetera. Where do super communicators live in the professional spectrum?
So it's really interesting. When I first started working on this and I found out about the concept of super communicators, I assumed that they would all be extroverts, or they would all be really charismatic, or they'd all be salesmen or saleswomen, or they'd all be CEOs. And it turns out that's totally wrong.
Really? That's interesting.
The reason why anyone can be a super communicator is because there are all kinds of super communicators that are unlikely, right? Usually what's happened, if somebody sort of intuits this, is that they had something in their background. They had trouble making friends in high school. Maybe their parents got divorced and they had to be the peacemaker. Something that forced them just to think a little bit more about conversation, about communication. Mm-hmm. And it's that thinking that makes you into a super communicator, because you start to see on your own the skills that you need, or you read a book that helps you understand those skills. And that makes you into a super communicator. So there are super communicators who are introverted dentists, and there are super communicators who are extroverted politicians.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily live anywhere within one place in the world, but anyone you talk to, if you ask them this question, if you were having a bad day and you wanted to call someone who you know would make you feel better, do you know who that person is?
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, they'll say, yes, I know exactly who that is. And that person is a super communicator for them.
Love that.
And some people can be super communicators for everyone just because they're just thinking a little bit more. Mm-hmm. They're training themselves and practicing the right skills until it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30. We hope you enjoyed waking up. As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose, and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.